We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We're having a fantastic day and a lot of good discussion, a lot of people with a lot of ideas and creativity and a lot of open, honest discussion when it comes to the tweets of Josh Hader, as Major League Baseball has said they will not suspend him, but they will send him to sensitivity training. So a lot of discussion about that today as well. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Marshfield Clinic Health System. If something ails you orthopedically, whether it's a knee, an ankle, a hip, a shoulder, they can help you out, maybe even do it the same day. All you got to do is call them, 855-MC-ORTHO. That's 855-MC-ORTHO to see everything that they have to offer. Again, they are the official healthcare provider of yours truly. We now take a look at the St. Louis Cardinals and our look around the rest of the National League Central. Kevin Wheeler from 101 ESPN Radio in St. Louis now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Kevin, how you been?
I've been good, Bill. How you been?
Doing well. So it's very un-Cardinal way to fire a manager mid-season. So what specifically prompted that firing?
A lot of the same old, same old. I think that's kind of the point. There was never any sense that problems that existed were going to get better. And it was a lot of different things. You know, there was no one event that tipped this over the edge. I would say that pretty much all of the things that we've seen and heard over the last two or three years have led to the point that we got to this past weekend when the Cardinals fired Mike Matheny. But you want a short list of it is this. Number one, the team has played sloppy baseball for 3 years. And, you know, we're talking about being one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to errors, when it comes to base running. You know, the offensive approach was bad. And, again, a lot of this is on players, but you can't really change over a $159 million payroll as easily as you can make the change on your manager and your hitting coach. They've tried other things. They tried changing out the other coaches, the pitching coach, the first and third base coaches and all that, and got no results. What they saw was a steady decline in the team's performance level over the last 3 or 4 years. So you add that in with some of the recent things that created a lot of bad publicity. I mean, you had the reports a couple weeks ago about the tension between Mike Matheny and Dexter Fowler. The report that they haven't talked to each other in months. I mean, you know, Fowler's a guy that was brought in here to be a veteran impact player, and now you're hearing that he's not even on speaking terms with the manager. You had Yadier Molina air his problems with Mike Matheny publicly on Instagram last year. Then you had the most recent story on The Athletic, where it started off as a story about Bud Norris kind of giving Jordan Hicks some trouble being the veteran to the kid, and really that became less of the concern compared to how Mike Matheny basically described Norris as his team snitch, and the team was not happy about any of that. So when you add it all together, mostly it's the fact that they were only one game over 500 at the time he was fired, and part of it is all this accumulation of other things.
So where is this team right now? Do you think this team has the wherewithal to be able to pick it back up and try to make a real run in the National League Central, or is this kind of the death knell of the season and now it's a regroup?
This is the last gasp effort to see if this season is savable. So I don't think it is, personally, Bill. I don't think they're going to be terrible either. I think they'll have a winning record at the end of the year. But, you know, as Bill DeWitt Jr. pointed out, the chairman of the Cardinals, when he announced the firing, like, just being decent and having a winning record is not good enough. You know, we sell 3.4 million tickets a year. Those fans are not buying tickets just because a team is good enough or has a winning record. It's about contention. And I don't think they can do that. And looking at the landscape of the National League, you know, you're one of seven or eight teams battling for a second wild card spot, essentially, because they're not going to win the division at this point. So I don't see a scenario where they're going to do enough to make a serious run at a playoff spot. Just too much competition. So that part I don't see happening, but they can at least play better and show something more. The front office says this roster is better than the record. I don't think it is, but we'll find out, I guess, over the next couple months.
What about the DL? I mean, this team's been a little bit banged up with key players. Reyes, Waka, Wainwright have all been banged up this season, and I know it's things like strained obliques and elbow inflammation and such. Reyes with the torn tendon. But where is this team injury-wise right now?
They're okay for the most part. I mean, Reyes isn't coming back. We know that. Wainwright may come back, but I would doubt that he's going to come back in any kind of significant role at this point. You know, the loss of Molina for a month, the loss of Paul DeJong for a month certainly set back their ability to kind of keep up with the Joneses. But, I mean, you guys watch the Brewers. How many injuries have the Brewers had this year?
Yep, a lot.
I mean, I've looked up and I've seen Corey Knebel on the DL and Ryan Braun and Eric Thames now twice. I've seen plenty of guys hurt there, and Chicago's not exactly been 100% healthy either. Darvish is on the DL, and Rizzo's had some problems, and Bryant's been on the DL. So, I mean, I don't think the Cardinals have suffered any more than anyone else because of that, but they're getting closer to being healthier, that's for sure.
Do they have, because where the Brewers have been able to sustain has been some of the depth in the minor league system and guys that have come up and given them key play at key times. The Cardinals have always been a team that has had that depth at the farm system. Do they have that right now?
They do. Unfortunately, it's at places where they don't have a spot to play them. You know, like most of their best offensive prospects are outfielders at the upper levels of the minor league. Well, I mean, they've got Dexter Fowler on a long-term contract. Marcelo Ozuna was your big off-season acquisition, and Tommy Pham was your best player last year. I mean, there just really aren't that many spots where you can fit those guys in. So they have them, and they have pitching too, but, you know, starting pitching is actually the only thing that's kept them alive. So it's not like they don't have the players that they need for those specific things, but where they've come up short is in the bullpen and really on the infield when it comes to balance. Like, they have a lot of guys that are infielders who can hit, but they're bad defenders, and they're not hitting. And, you know, what they're missing in the minor leagues is also what they're missing in the major leagues, and that's part of the problem, which is why I think they'll probably be pretty active around the trade deadline, not necessarily for rentals, but for longer-term changes.
Yeah, I was going to be on my next question, is how active are they going to be? I know the Brewers got into the Machado discussions and at least appeared to be serious for a while, but they just don't want to give up too much for basically rental players. They want controllable assets, which seems to be the way a lot of teams are going now. So, I might quite be possible that these teams are vying for the same spot.
It could be. I mean, you know, I think there's a little bit more emphasis on the now, I would think, with Milwaukee, just because you're better. You know, I mean, you're a better team, and I would assume they're going to recover from the losing streak and start winning again. So once they do that and level off, you're in a much more solid position. But, yeah, I think that's what everybody wants. And, look, the Brewers have the kind of assets to be able to go out and get one of those guys with some control. You know, for the Cardinals, they've got 8 games against the Cubs in the first 11 coming out of the All-Star break. If they get their butts kicked during that time, they're probably going to sell some pieces, and I'm sure you guys have seen the reports out of New York indicating that the Yankees have some interest in Carlos Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that that's the smartest way to go, except for one circumstance. If you can get the one piece that you don't have, which is that long-term middle-of-the-order bat, they just don't have that guy. And that they aren't going to get that, then I think they keep Carlos. But I think they're going to be open to moving him with all the other young pitching that they have. And if they're going to do something big, that would be big.
We've been talking all day about the comments that came out last night during the All-Star game regarding Josh Hader. We've been asking everybody we've been discussing nationally or outside of the Milwaukee area, what is the perspective on what was stated, Hader's tweets from when he was 17 years old, the apology, Major League Baseball's reaction to it today. Give me your thoughts on all of this, Kevin.
A lot of them, you know, in addition to doing radio, Bill, I'm also a baseball coach, and I coach kids between the ages of 12 and 18. And we preach this stuff all the time about understanding that what you put out stays out there. You might not, I mean, you may forget to delete it or somebody can screenshot it. I mean, you have to be, first of all, smart enough not to say those things. A 17-year-old is old enough to know that stuff's not okay. And if he didn't know that, or if there are other circumstances, well, obviously he's paying the price for that now. And I think that, you know, there's a good message to be taught here for younger people, and that it never goes away. You put stuff out there publicly, it never goes away. But it's also a good thing to teach about, too, is this stuff's not okay to think. It's not okay to say even in private. I mean, if you don't have more respect for human beings than that, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble, and you're also going to cause pain for other people. And I think that's an important teaching point. But at the same time, you also don't want to bury a guy because he was stupid when he was 16, 17 years old. I mean, I think, I don't know if you agree with this or not, Bill. I haven't heard your take yet on Major League Baseball's action, but I think that the action they took made a lot of sense. You know, they said, all right, look, we're not going to suspend you for something you did in high school, and they certainly probably can't because of the collective bargaining agreement, but we're going to ask you to do this. And one of the things that I threw out there as something moving forward is to take an advocacy position, to start being active in the community in these regards and work with charities and help people that are facing that kind of discrimination to, A, demonstrate that's not you, and, B, also as a form of payback for the damage that those words do. And I think it sounds like it's being handled well. I hope it is, but it sounds that way.
I would agree. I said the same thing. I didn't think they could suspend them. I thought that they would say sensitivity training. That's exactly what they did. Now, really, you just follow Josh Hader a little more closely, and you see what his actions are from here on out, and you see how his teammates respond. And if they believe him, then you stick with the teammates, because those inside the clubhouse, that's his family. And if they believe him, then I don't know what recourse we have on the outside. So just kind of wait and see and let the rest of it play out. Kevin, always a pleasure to chat, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
You got it, Bill. Thanks, man.
All right,
have
pal.
A great show.
Talk to you later. There you go. Kevin Wheeler from 101 ESPN Radio in St. Louis joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been calling it a business and doing a fine job at it. If you're looking to go to a new team, trade teams, whatever, call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. This portion of the program, it's brought to you by good friends at Cousin Subs, and that's where they believe in better at Cousin Subs. Get the Bill Michaels. That's the pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese. Put it on an Italian bread. Side of Radio Joe cheese curds. Good. Good stuff over at Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you're on board today. Hey, I want to remind you, coming up on Sunday, September 2nd, it's our 11th annual poker run. Motorcycle ride benefiting the Fisher House of Wisconsin. It's brought to you by our great friends over at Bud Light. As a matter of fact, that's where we're going to start, Budweiser's facility in New Berlin, Wisconsin. It's the Beechwood Sales and Service, and it's right there off of 43 in New Berlin. You probably see the big building if you drive up and down that road, the Rock Freeway there. So if you can join us and then do a 100-mile ride and enjoy a great party out at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson afterwards, man, can you bring friends. We need all the bikes we can get, not just Harleys, Indians, Hondas, Kawasaki, Suzukis. It doesn't matter what you ride, bring it along and bring friends. Last year, 348 bikes. This year, we want even more. We're gunning for 400, if we can get 400 motorcycles together and riders and passengers and just have a great time and a great party and obviously raise money for a very worthy cause. Again, for the Fisher House of Wisconsin, for wounded veterans, veterans in need of medical services, those that are in the military that are in need of medical services and their families, we can't say thanks enough to them. And this is just a small way for us to do so. So it's the 11th annual Big Unit Poker Run benefiting Fisher House of Wisconsin. For all the details And in addition to that, to get yourself registered for the commemorative T-shirt, which going online is the only way to do that, to guarantee that, go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's Bill Michaels, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S, BillMichaelsSports.com. And to go to the events page, or just scroll down. It's right at the bottom of the page. But go to the events page and get registered. It's real simple. And you can register you, your passenger, what have you, and guarantee yourself the commemorative T-shirt and get yourself ready for the great motorcycle ride coming up on Sunday, September 2nd. That's Labor Day weekend. And we're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a good time. So Jabari Parker has now spoken. He has had his press conference in Chicago. And he had some interesting things to say. Now, Joe, you said that, what was it, on one of the shows on a radio station down there?
Yeah, so he went on Bernstein and McKnight, our sister station down in Chicago on The Score, and it was right after his press conference, and he said this, quote, "I just stick to my strengths. Look at the league. They don't pay people to play defense. To say that's a weakness, you can say that's everybody's weakness." Parker goes on to say, quote, "A better offense wins a championship." That's Jabari Parker on Bernstein and McKnight about an hour ago.
You've got another piece of breaking news. Now, Steve Phillips just tweeted out that apparently there's been a snag in the deal between the Orioles and the Dodgers with some of the prospects and their physicals that were supposed to go to the Orioles. This then opens the door for other clubs. Stay tuned. So an interesting twist there.
Huh.
We'll see if maybe that reinvigorates something with the Machado deal. We'll have to wait and see. So anyway, going back to Jabari Parker's comments, look, Jabari was never going to be a guy that was a defensive player to begin with.
No.
He did want to say that he wanted to get better at it, but I hate to say it, in all honesty, he's kind of right. I mean, it's all about, you know, how many points you're going to score. Now, if you're just a complete sieve, you know, that's one thing. Look, people put up with James Harden for years and years and years. Harden was always going to give you 30-plus a game, play very little defense, and he was just basically going to outscore his opponent. So you accepted that. Jabari's not at that level where he's going to give you maybe 17, a couple of assists, few boards. So he's going to have to play a good defense to be formidable. Otherwise, you're giving up more points than you're scoring, and obviously that's no good for anybody. But to come out on radio and kind of say that, he's right in one sense that, yeah, if you're going to put up, you know, 27 and 30 points a game, you're going to get recognized every night on SportsCenter, and they're going to praise you for it. But if you're giving up 30 points a game and you're scoring 17 to 20 and still making a nice living, people are also going to point out the fact that you can't play any defense.
Well, if Bulls fans weren't familiar with Jabari Parker's game, they're going to get familiar with it now because he doesn't play defense. He rarely plays defense. It was a shock in the playoffs when he actually did play some good defense, but I feel like that's few and far between with Mr. Parker. So if he's not scoring 20 a night for the Bulls, Bulls fans will have had enough of him. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. He will be expected to score, and we really don't even know, Bill, if Jabari Parker is going to be the guy down there in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not a guy. I mean, Zach LaVine, he's there. You got Lauri Markkanen, he's there. And then there's Jabari Parker. Now, I'm not that core of guys. There's a little potential there. Is that group right there going to be in the finals in the next few years? I don't know about that. But it's going to be interesting to see because Jabari Parker, he may go into this and think, this is my opportunity to be what I should have been in Milwaukee. What Giannis is to be the guy on the team, be the go-to scorer, be the star player, try to develop into a superstar. I don't know if he'll ever be a superstar caliber player. He, first of all, needs to stay healthy, but it's definitely an opportunity for Jabari. I just don't know how his teammates view him.
855-830-8648. Meanwhile, the Toronto Raptors, they fired their head coach, Dwayne Casey. They have now made the deal for Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green to go to Toronto for DeMar DeRozan, Jacob Poeltl, and a protected first-round pick. They are saying very loudly that just being good and getting into the postseason is unacceptable. They want to be able to go for it. Meanwhile, I don't know if you've read this, but there is some speculation that Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to go now. He doesn't want to go to Toronto.
Yeah, quote, no desire.
Yeah, no desire to go to Toronto.
And DeMar DeRozan was pretty upset when he got traded.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they moved DeRozan.
It's funny that this deal that apparently gave you know, gave Kawhi Leonard what he wanted. Now he doesn't want it, or at least doesn't want it that particular way. It's kind of like be careful what you wish for. 855-830-8648. So you got the news coming out that possibly, according to Steve Phillips, that the Machado deal with the Dodgers could be nil because some of the prospects have some physical issues. And then you've got the Kawhi Leonard story saying he doesn't want to go.
So this is from Sporting News.
Yeah.
League sources told Sporting News Leonard has no interest in playing for the Raptors. There have been indications that he would sit out the entire season if necessary. And though that step would be drastic and unprecedented in today's game, Toronto has forced the situation into uncharted territory by acquiring a player who has made it clear he does not want to be there.
How about that?
Now see... Imagine if the Bucks actually were able to get Kawhi Leonard to Milwaukee. We really sure that would have been a good idea? Because if this is true that Leonard will try and sit out an entire season, he could have done the same thing in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Some people really wanted the Bucks to go out and try and trade for Kawhi Leonard, and that would have been a hefty sum.
Yep.
And honestly, I think if you're the Spurs, do you really want to try and acquire guys like Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, or can you acquire an all-star in DeMar DeRozan? I think it's a great deal for the Spurs. And DeRozan, I believe DeRozan's under control for at least a couple more years.
Right, where Kawhi Leonard's only one.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard's only under control for this year.
I might be a little upset if I'm a Toronto Raptors fan when I'm reading that.
Stay tuned. We'll come back, take some phone calls. John and Oak Creek, your first out of the chute, coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Program, the Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you are on board. Hey, I want to remind you that we are fast approaching two cigar dinners. One is next Thursday, July 26th, at the Chippewa River Distillery. That is in Chippewa Falls. You get your dinner, a couple of cocktails, some raffle tickets, free cigars, all of that for one low price. And all you have to do is stop by the Tobacco Outlet Plus grocery store locations, Birch Street in Eau Claire and South Prairie View Road in Chippewa Falls, and you can get your tickets there. That thing is selling quickly. The other one that is selling very quickly, I'm going to be appearing in La Crosse at Shenanigans. That is coming up on Thursday night, August 2nd. Thursday night, August, that's going to be a hell of a day. I'm going to be doing the show live from Goose Island at State Fair. I get off the air, and then I jump in the car, and I drive to La Crosse, head out there. We're going to have a great night at Shenanigans. Yes, I'm staying in La Crosse that night, but I got to get up at like 5 and get back to Milwaukee and do the show back at Goose Island at State Fair the very next day. But we're going to have a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. So the trip out and the trip back, make it worth my while. Come on out, sell this thing out. I know tickets are selling really, really well for this. Again, the same thing goes. You get your dinner. You get raffle tickets, you get 4 free cigars, you get a couple of cocktails along the way, all for one price. And the place in La Crosse to get your tickets for that is on Highway 157. It's the Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery Store on Highway 157 in La Crosse. So go get your tickets for that one. That's coming up fast approaching Thursday night, August 2nd. And really, really looking forward to these events. They're always a lot of fun, always really cool. I wish I could be at the one in Chippewa Falls. Unfortunately, I can't. I'm going to be on vacation, but be back for the one on August 2nd. So really looking forward to it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Let's go to John listening to us in Oak Creek. John, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Sure, what's up?
Yeah, I tell you, with Manny Machado, if the Brewers could somehow acquire him, because I know the situation is still fluid, I think that would be fantastic for the Milwaukee Brewers. Because think about this. If you could add Machado to that team, that would be you would have like 4 all-star players in your batting lineup. You're talking Lorenzo Cain, Yelich and Manny Machado as your first three batters. That would be awesome. And then you'd have Aguilar as your number four hitter, along with Travis Shaw after that. That would do wonders for that offense. I think the Brewers would be the team to beat in the National League if we can get it done. And I think it'd be worth pursuing. I think the Brewers have the ammunition to get it done. He could potentially get the Brewers to a World Series if we acquire him. So I'd say why not try to get Manny Machado at this point.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. It's interesting because people that are just tuning in, it looked like Machado was heading off to the L.A. Dodgers. And at least the reports is that the Dodgers, with some of the prospects they were going to send over in the trade, it looks as if some of those prospects, one or more, have physical issues that would not allow, I guess, the physicals to go through. So, if this is true, that deal would then be off, which would then maybe, just maybe, put the Brewers back into the mix for the Manny Machado situation. So, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, nothing's written in stone yet, but we'll have to wait and see if that indeed happens. I don't know if anybody caught this, but I thought it was very telling. Yesterday in USA Today, there's a big story about Major League Baseball, about some possible rule changes, about the talk down the road from the Players Association of a work stoppage. Management is alarmed, listen to this, by what is taking place on the field. Strikeouts, 24,537, are on track to surpass hits, which are 24,314, for the first time in baseball history. Strikeouts are also likely to set a record for the 12th straight season, and this year's average of 17 strikeouts per game is up from 12.6 strikeouts back in 2005. The current big league batting average of .247 would be the lowest since 1972, and there have been 20,587 shifts put on balls in play. That's according to Baseball Info Solutions. That projects to a full season of 34,668 shifts, which is up 29.8% from last year, an increase from 6,882 for the entire 2013 season. And that has decreased the batting average of stars, like, say, a Bryce Harper, who's in just .214. And the average attendance of 28,568, that is down from 30,159 at the break last year, when the final figure was 30,042 on average. Major League Baseball has not dropped below 30,000 per game in attendance since 2002. Now, they did have bad weather games at the beginning of the season, and they are still down trying to make those games up. But they blame all of this and the lack of competitiveness among rebuilding teams also as a likely factor. Three teams this year are on track to lose more than 100 games, which would match the record set back in 2002, and five others are on pace for 90 or more losses. Baseball, the schism between the haves and the have-nots, is huge. By the way, the stats are brought to you by our friends at AppRoyo, implementing SAP and big data solutions to companies just like yours on the web. And all you got to do is check them out by going to APPROYO.com. That's APPROYO.com, AppRoyo.com. And maybe they can make your business bigger, better, badder, stronger simply by getting all your information, taking a look at it, giving it back to you in a decipherable manner, and they can help you out in that particular way. That's AppRoyo. Check them out. They bring you the stat of the day each and every day. Let's go to Jim listening to us downtown Milwaukee. Jim, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How about you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
That's good. Well, I wanted to talk about the possibility of getting Manny Machado.
Sure.
In a trade. I don't really like it for a number of reasons. One, he's a rental, and you know that he's not going to sign the next year. He's going to go to L.A. or he'll go to New York, whoever can pay him the most money, and wherever the union wants him to go. Same way with Sabathia. The other thing is that the last two times the Brewers made the playoffs was when they acquired Sabathia and when they acquired Greinke.
Uh-huh.
I've never yet heard of a team that has made the playoffs because they acquired a shortstop, no matter how good he's hitting.
What is the biggest need? What do you think? Games. Well, what do you think the biggest need is for this team?
I don't know. It may be hitting, but I don't think getting a hitting shortstop is going to make the difference. I still think they need a stopper. They need a frontline pitcher who can come in and they can depend upon winning ball games.
Okay.
Because that's what gets you to the playoffs and that's what gets you to the World Series. I've never yet heard of a team that's gotten to the playoffs or to the World Series without a number one pitcher.
All right. Appreciate it, man. He drops off, you get on board. Do you agree? Do you have to have that number one to get yourself into the postseason? See, I don't think you have to have the number one. I think you have to have good twos and threes that can just sustain. But in the grand scheme of things, what does this team need? What do they need more of? Because here's two things you have to think of. One, if you say, well, they need that starting pitcher, okay? Well, who's out there that's truly going to be that big-time starter? We talked about Cole Hamels, A.J. Happ. Those guys are – Happ more so than Hamels is an innings eater. Syndergaard has been another guy that's been talked about. He's obviously had some arm issues in the past. Looks like DeGrom is not going to be available, and he would be the guy that you would, for the most part, go after if indeed you could get yourself a frontline starter, but it doesn't look like he's going to be available. So then if that's your choices, do you stick with what you already have, or do you try to bolster another area of need, which is a bat, an impact player for an everyday position? You know, if you can bolster that, it can't hurt your team, that's for damn sure. It can only help it, but how much? And what level of confidence you have going out on the field every day with Machado versus, say, a number one guy or a number two guy that's going to help, you know, kind of sustain a winning streak or stop a losing streak? I mean, that's what you have to ask yourself is what is your specific need? If you're a Milwaukee Brewers fan, you know, what is the biggest, most glaring hole that you have? I think most would say right now, when you look at this team, the way it stands is most likely your shortstop position.
And catcher.
Catcher's another area. Yeah, you're right.
I don't think we don't talk about that position enough, really.
We don't talk about it because we have seen such productivity defensively out of that position. Nottingham threw a guy out the other day before they went to the break. I mean, obviously, Manny Pena's been defensively solid. People keep waiting for Pena to come back, be healthy, and then really begin to take off. Who knows? Maybe he does. But we know for a fact that Saladino has played well and admirable. But is he going to be the long-term answer for the remainder, the stretch run of this season, offensively speaking, when you could get yourself that proven commodity in Machado? If you knew that Saladino was going to continue to hit 270, 280, you'd say, it's a done deal. I'd stick with that. But you don't know. And that's the biggest thing driving people crazy right now is you just don't know. You don't know what you have in some of these young guys. As opposed to Machado, who's been there, done that. He knows, you know what you got.
It would be pretty cool to think where Machado would fit in the lineup, how a lineup would work with Machado. You know, would he be third? Would he be fourth in the lineup?
That's a great question. I mean, you'd go Kane, Yelich. You know what? I'd probably go Kane, Yelich,
Machado, Aguilar.
Would you leave Shaw there then?
I might bet.
Then Machado.
I think I would go Kane, Yelich, Machado.
I'd probably go Kane, Yelich, Machado, Aguilar, then Shaw.
In the five hole. Yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good five right there.
Yeah, you'd go top five, then you kind of go from there. I mean, whoever's going to be playing second, is it going to be VR? When's he going to be back? Is it, you know, somebody else, you know? Brad Miller behind Travis Shaw. It's not going to give Shaw a lot of protection. But he could come up in situations in which they cannot put him on, so therefore he's going to see better pitches because of the batting averages that are ahead of him. That's a quandary. That's a good quandary to have.
The other thing too is, you know, if Ryan Braun can get healthy and actually do something, now all of a sudden you've got six guys in that lineup with Braun.
And that's not even bringing Eric Thames' name into this.
Right. Yeah, because you could, you know, you can rotate between either Braun or Thames in right field.
Yeah.
Or left field or right or left or whatever, yeah, depending on the player.
855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Love to hear from you. Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Wisconsin wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michaels Show continues. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Don't forget, tonight, Wednesday Night Live is back at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. Should be a good one. Good weather tonight. Man, the last few days, the weather has been picture perfect. Low humidity, mid-70s. Get a little bit cool at night. Almost perfect weather to get out there, enjoy some music, have a couple of beverages. Enjoy your friends. Free of charge, by the way, out there when you talk about admission. And as far as bringing a car, well, if you're going to bring a car, park it for only $6. A motorcycle, absolutely free. There you have it. That is Wednesday Night Live back out at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. And don't forget, Bud Light is also a big sponsor of the motorcycle ride. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. And you can get registered for our motorcycle ride as well, the 11th annual Big Unit Poker Run coming up. So Bob Nightingale has more on the, was it the Machado stuff?
Well, he actually put this out last night, and I didn't see this until now. But with the whole little snag with Manny Machado, Nightingale had tweeted out yesterday, the Brewers' offer was considered the second strongest by Orioles officials before opting with the Dodgers and their package for Manny Machado.
Which is interesting because if you're just tuning us in now, it appears that something has gone awry with the deal with the Dodgers for Manny Machado, in one of the or more of the prospects that the Dodgers have not being able to pass the physical, or at least that's the rumor that's flying around out there right now. So would that then put the Brewers in the forefront for the Manny Machado deal and his services? So we shall see before it all. And sometimes you don't have to offer as much. It just kind of comes to fruition and it all works out.
Well, the reports were that the Brewers were not going to give up Corbin Burnes in the deal because the Orioles have been looking for top prospects out of any of these teams that are willing to make a trade with Machado, and Corbin Burnes, it was reported, the Brewers were not going to give him up. I can't imagine Stearns gives up any of the prospects that are major league ready that could help the Brewers either this year or next year, and that would include Keston Hira, who I believe could help the Brewers right away next year.
Yeah.
And that's the top prospect in their system. See, I don't have a problem if the Brewers do get Machado, if they're trading a guy that's in A ball right now, high a guy that's probably not going to be helping this team for at least another 3 years, I'm perfectly fine with that. But if it's someone like a Corbin Burnes or Keston Hira or Freddie Peralta, I am far more hesitant to move any of those guys. Hira to me is untouchable. I'm very high on him. So if the Brewers do get Machado, it's going to be a debate as to whether or not they gave up too much for a two-month rental in him.
855-830-8648. Let's go to Bruce on the west side. Bruce, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you been, man? How's your week going so far?
So far, so good. What's up?
Hey, I got a question. I know everybody's in the Manny Machado thing going on. What's the status with Jimmy Nelson? When is he going to be able to pitch again? I think everybody kind of got away from him from a little bit, but where is he at? Is he able to pitch any?
Right now, he's not. He's been long tossing that we know, and that's about it. They're not saying much. The last we heard from Craig Counsell was that Jimmy Nelson, if he's going to throw it all this season, it will not be in July or August. Most likely, it would be in September. So I said at the beginning of the season, I appreciate the phone call, Bruce. I said at the beginning of the season, I didn't think he was coming back. The shoulder surgery that he had, it's not easy to come back from. And we knew this going in. And when they kept saying he was ahead of schedule and such, I thought, boy, that's a lot of optimism. We saw him in spring training, and he wasn't doing a whole lot. It wasn't like he was just a month away. And every time he has a little bit of a pain or a setback, and it's just not working out, you're talking at least a month, month and a half for him to come back, because then he has to get onto the mound and then begin to get ready and then to get his legs under him and everything. And right now, he's not doing that. So I'd be shocked if he pitches at all this year. Eric, listening to us on the Zone out in Madison. Eric, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going today?
Good today. What's on your mind, man?
Well, you know what? I think back, the Cubs trading up prospects for Rolas Chapman. Last year, Houston gave up prospects for Verlander. Heck, we gave up an unstoppable, can't miss Matt Laporta for CC Sabathia.
Mm-hmm.
We basically gave up Reynolds for Zach Greinke. I mean, you know, for all the people that we can't give up prospects, there's prospects. There's no guarantee. you know, these guys are going to hit, you've got to jump on Machado. And actually, I take it one step further. Not only would I go out and get Machado, I'd do my best to go out and get Dozier, the second baseman from Minnesota, because we can use a second baseman as well. What do you think?
Look, they need middle infield help. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Now, the one thing about VR, remember, I appreciate the phone call, Eric. The one thing about VR, VR is hitting 31, 32 points higher right now than he was at this time last year. If you can just shore up the shortstop position and get yourself a 260, 270 hitter, that's a dramatic difference from what you had. Now, we were talking about this earlier. You go Lorenzo Cain, Yelich, Machado, Aguilar, then Travis Shaw, which Shaw would then see, you would assume, see some better pitches. You could even throw Eric Thames into that mix at some point. You got yourself a pretty solid lineup.
Thames batting six, or Ryan Braun, either one of them.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And you need something, anything out of Ryan Braun. Look, it's time for us to get out of here. I will be in Sheboygan tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to it. I'll be hanging out there, so we'll be doing the show in Sheboygan tomorrow. Time for us to go. Have a go. See.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.